Back to Chaf Vav. I'm sorry, Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph. We turned the page, Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph. And we began the sugya of Kfiyas Hamita. We're going to come back to that in a little while. But let's start from the second line. I think that's pretty much what we're up to. Tana Rabbanan. Me'emasai Kofanes Hamitos. From what point... Do we fulfill this practice of turning the beds upside down? Okay? Kfiyas Hamita, the list of things that pertain during Shiva. And the question is, from what point do they begin? So the first opinion is, Mishayetze, Mishayotza, Mipesach Beso. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, the Tanakam, holds that as soon as the mace and the avelim, they leave the house, right? We had a whole episode a few weeks back about the process of leaving the house. It's a big deal. It has to be in a certain surah. But once the avelim leave the house on the way to perform the kfura, that's already, at least at some level, the beginning of Shiva. And this practice of turning the beds over, according to Rabbi Lezer, has to happen. Rabbi Shua Omer Misha Yistam HaGolo. Rabbi Shua says, not at that earlier stage of just leaving the house, but rather Misha Yistam HaGolo. So that itself requires a little definition. Yistam, like... To seal, okay? So same means to seal. So we're sealing the golel. Golel, across Shas, we see Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam arguing as to how to translate the word golel. You have it there, Chav Zayin Amud Aleph? Next page. Okay, very top of the next page. So Rashi's opinion is that it's referring to closing the arum, the coffin where the mace is. Okay, Yisam HaGolel refers to the actual box where you place the niftar, and according to Rabbeinu Tam, this is the opinion that we accept. It means putting a matzeva, or closing the grave when the body's already inside. The golel, according to Rabbeinu Tam, actually refers to a stone, a headstone. Okay, but it is sufficient, the Rishonim say, according to Rabbeinu Tam, even if no stone is placed immediately, as is the common practice, at least in Chutz La'aretz, we wait many months, almost a year. Before we place a stone, putting the offer, putting the dirt on top of the kever is sufficient, and that's what he would consider Yistam HaGolel. We referred to this point in time previously when we discussed the appropriate time to tear Kriya. Right? We said originally, the seems to be from the Gemara, that a loved one, you tear Kriya immediately when you hear the news, or if you're standing by the bedside. But our minhag is to wait until the Leviah, until the Hespedim. That's supposed to be a time of great emotional arousal, and the response of the Kriya is most profound. And we said that extends any time up until the mace is in the ground and is covered by earth. Okay, so these are the two opinions. Now, even though the Gemara explains this machlokas to pertain to Kfiyas Hamita, sorry, I'm just flipping to get to the Ritva. The Ritva says that this is not a limited discussion. This is not only talking about Kfiyas Hamita, but the machlokas you see here is actually relevant to the entire, we'll say, spectrum of Avelis. Here we go, okay? The Ritva says, Kfar Pirashtit Bekama Mekomos. First, he gives the definition of Golel, as we said. Ikar Kedivari Rabbeinu Tam. We paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. Shu Kisoy HaKever Be'evan O Be'ofer. Covering the grave either with a stone or with dirt, lo kisay ha'aron k'divrei Rashi zal, and not covering the casket as Rashi says. Ubzei yisyashiv haminig l'fumai dekaimlan k'Rabbi Yoshua, and as a result, he says that lines up with the fact that we passing like Rabbi Yoshua in this brisa. V'had lo katani ash yistam agolel mishum demei emasai dereshikoy. Okay, so that's point number one. Point number two. I'm sorry, I can't find it here. Okay, I'll find it when I don't need to find it. But the Ritva says explicitly that even though we only refer directly to Kfiyas Hamita, the same is true about all of the Hanhagas of Avela. So you do not start until the Stimas HaKever, according to this psak of Rabbeinu Tam, until the mace is buried, no practices of Avelus are in force. Okay, so even though we only use this example of Kfiyas Hamita, it really could apply to any aspect of Shiva. Okay, Maisa Shemesh Rabbi Gamliel Hazakin passed away. Okay, If you look, if you have this, the girsa change that I have, Zaken really is a mistake over here. Rabbi Gamliel Zaken, the elder Rabbi Gamliel, lived earlier than the other players in the story, as we're going to see. So this was probably Rabbi Gamliel, the grandson, right? They were all named after each other: Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon. They named each other, you know, one after another by generation. So this was not Rabbi Gamliel Zaken. This was a later Rabbi Gamliel. Kevan sheyatzami pesach beso. When they removed Rabbi Gamliel from the house, Amar Lam Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer was on hand at the Levaya, and he instructed the family, Kafu mitosechem, Kafu mitosechem, turn the beds over as you leave the house. They came in Shinistam Hagolol, and then later at the funeral, at the burial site, when they completed the kever, Amar Lam Rabbi Shua. Now Rabbi Shua was the officiating rabbi, okay? So it happens when you have too many cooks in the kitchen, too many rabbis officiating a funeral. I've been there before, let me tell you. Okay, so now Rabbi Shua says, okay, now that you buried the body, now you should turn over your bed. Go home and turn the beds upside down. Amar Lo, Kfar Kafino. We already did it. Al Pi Zaken. Rabbi Lezer told us to do it when we left the house, so we already did what we're supposed to do. Okay? We'll come back to that point in a moment. Let's just round out the topic of the Mita. Tanar Barna Me'imasai Zok Venes HaMitos Be'erev Shabbos. At what point do we turn the beds up on Erev Shabbos? Okay? Meaning if it's part of the practices of Shiva, even though, as we've discussed a few times, Shiva continues through Shabbos, and Shabbos is counted as one of the days, but the public displays, more open, more evident displays of Avelos are suspended on Shabbos. And and certain things we can do L'Kavod Shabbos. The bed can be turned back to its normal position L'Kavod Shabbos. At what point do you have a right to do that? Be'erev Shabbos min ha-mincha l'mayla, from mincha and onward. Okay. Now here we are referring to the Kfiyas Hamita alone, not everything. Kfiyas Hamita alone, and it can be done already min ha-mincha l'mayla. So right off the bat, you have to ask yourself: mincha. What is mincha? Mincha could be mincha ketana. Could be Mincha Gedola. Mincha Gedola is half an hour after Chatzos. That's very early in the day. Okay? Mincha Ketana is 2 to 3 hours before sunset. So we paskin that it's the later time, 2 or 3 hours before sunset, depending on the time of year. Okay? Amar Rabba Barhuna, Afo Pichein Eino Yoshev Aleha Achitechshach. But that doesn't mean you have the right to sit on the bed that has now been turned upright at the same time that you turn it over. If you think about it, why am I turning it over? I'm not turning it over because Shiva is suspended. I'm turning it over because Kavod Shabbos. So the Kavod Shabbos already begins when you're starting to prepare for Shabbos. But in terms of the personal behavior, I maintain my Shiva behavior, as it were, until I get much closer to Shabbos. Okay, so I can turn over the beds as I start to get the house ready for Shabbos. Okay, but you can't sit on it until Achitechshach. Literally, Achitechshach means until nightfall. The Mefarshim say it doesn't mean after Tekshach literally. It means until you get closer to night, closer to candle lighting. Okay? And that follows with many other practices that are suspended in the personal behavior. Let's say taking a shower. Okay? Or changing, better example would be changing into Shabbos clothes. An Avel, our practice is, can wear Shabbos clothes. He goes to shul on Shabbos. He can wear Shabbos clothes, but he shouldn't do that until close to Shabbos, let's say an hour before. Sometime after Plag HaMincha is usually the general guideline. So likewise, we would not allow him to sit on a regular chair until a little bit later in the day. Okay, take a look quickly. There's a short Tosos. Min HaMincha L'mayla. Min HaMincha L'mayla. You know, I think we skipped the first line of the Gemara. We'll get back to that, okay? But let's keep going with this topic, okay? Pull the fast one on over there. Min HaMincha L'mayla. Pirish B'Tosos HaRav. The Mesafkale, the Tosos were Mesupak, they were in doubt. Imincha Gedola, Imincha Ketana. Okay? Is it Mincha Gedola, let's say 12:30? Mincha Ketana is 4:30. The Mikodem Lachain Eno Yoshev Aleha. Prior to that point, right? Are we saying that you can't sit on it until later, after those later periods of period of the day, Mincha Ketana? Nearly the Mikan Samchu Shloleshev Agabekisev Safsom. Afopisha ain raya gamura, the shiny mitaho vitzar kafia, vlomatzino kafia bekisa v'safso. So let's break that down. What he is pointing out, this is not about the time when you turn the beds over. He's talking about the general practice of sitting on a low chair during Shiva. It doesn't actually say anywhere in the Gemara that you can't sit on a chair. Okay. In fact, I was told that sometimes when they buy chairs for a Shiva house, so there are some There are some who are very makbid, it should be below a certain height. Below 10 inches, 12 inches, a specific height. Rav Soloveitchik felt that the ikar is that it should be a shinoi, it should be something unusual, different than normal practice. Okay, that's enough to satisfy the requirement. The Gemara talks about sitting on gabei karka, and I've seen that. I've seen shivas in Eretz Yisrael, where the aveilim literally sit on the floor. You don't see that over here so much, I don't think I've ever seen it in America. But Rav Soloveitchik held that it was enough to make some sort of altar. We're going to see that in the Gemara, where he learned that from a Raya a little bit later on. But so here Tos says nearly demikan samchu shalaleshev agabi kisev safso. He says it seems that this Gemara indicates the basis for the practice is not sitting on a bench or a chair. Okay, I mean we're getting the echoes of the basis for our practice. Why? Avu pishein raya gemuri says it's not an ironclad proof, but shiny mita ho v'tzar kafia. Shiny mita ho v'tzar kafia. A bed. The halacha is you turn it over. Okay, and did we discuss the basis for that? The reason for that? We said that there is a pasuk. The Gemara quotes earlier that says that you Hashem, as it were, brings tragedy in response to averos, and the way that he expresses that dissatisfaction with our behavior is that you've turned, so to speak, the image of God upside down. Okay. Now we do that with the bed, because the bed is a proverbial source for where the tzel melkim, where the appropriation comes from. So in order to reflect that, okay, Hashem, we feel ourselves in that state of feeling like you're telling us because of our averos, we've reversed, we've inverted the human creation that is your own handiwork. So we turn the bed upside down. Soloveitchik said, based on that, that's why we cover our mirrors. We don't really have a notion of overturning our beds, and one of the reasons for that is there's two reasons that are given. One reason is because the goyim would find it very suspicious. There's a few things here and there where we say nowadays we don't do because the goyim are going to scorn, or they're going to think that it's some sort of kishuf. That's actually what it says. They're going to think that we're doing some sort of like a heebie-jeebie. You know, when your coworker comes, visits you during shiva, and there's too many weird things going on in the house. They're going to start wondering if this is, okay, I don't know. I'm not sure how much that's relevant nowadays, although goyim love to ask questions about, Jewish practices. But I think more practical, b'zman hazeh, is that our beds are just physically, they look different, right? If you turn, if you have a box spring, and you would turn it upside down, it would look the same, right? If you took a mattress and flipped it upside down, it would look the same. In those days, for example, the way the beds were set up, there was no mattress, really. You'd have, four slats on legs, and you'd have maybe leather straps going from one side of the bed to the other, and they would put straw or some other cushion on top of it. But if that's how it was built, and there was a lot of space under the bed, if you turned it upside down, so then the legs would be pointing up, and the mattress would be flat on the floor. So because we can't really accomplish the same thing by turning over our beds, that's one reason why it fell out of practice, why it's not required.
Yeah, but what about covering the mirrors?
Oh, okay, so have you ever heard anyone comment about that?
Covering the mirrors.
Yeah. You think it also looks a little bit...
Yeah. So, turning the bed upside down is going to...
I guess. I mean, really, if you see a curtain on the wall, maybe you won't even know what's behind it. I don't know. I understand. So Soloveitchik suggested that the reason why we cover the mirrors...
No one's going to go in the bedroom and even see the bedroom.
Okay. I'm so happy you fell into my trap. Okay? So stay tuned. Stay tuned.
What happened to our din in Kamei Kilo?
Say that again?
What happened to our din in
Kamei Kilo? Halacha, Divrei Mekubal Avil. Yeah, so where's the... In terms of, okay, so good question, Sam, but what you're asking is, Tosis has a question, should we turn over the beds from 12 o'clock or 4 o'clock? So he can side with the 4 o'clock position because that's his own doubt. If Rabbi Lezer says this and Rabbi Shua says that, you can take the more makel opinion. But here, it's not that there are two different opinions, it's that we're trying to figure out what exactly the Pshat and the Gemara is, right? We're trying to translate the words. So we'll get back to the point about the bedroom. But Rav Soloveitchik said that covering the mirrors is symbolic of, being unable to see the Tzel Melkim. The Tzel Melkim has departed, so that parallels the beds. Others say it's more for practical reasons, so that, having minyanim in the house, right? So then you shouldn't be davening, right? You shouldn't be davening to yourself, okay? Nafkamina, big nafkamina. What about uncovering the mirrors, let's say on Shabbos when there's no minyan there, right? Or do I have to cover all the mirrors in the house or only in the room where the minyan is taking place? So those two reasons, you know, it's really important to, you know, to take sides.
I've also heard that it's because the mourner shouldn't see how bad he looks.
I've never heard that before. Okay. I don't know. Maybe you should.
Grooming yourself.
Right. I mean, he should. The point of looking like that is that, you know, I'm disheveled because this is, you know, that's how I express the tragedy.
The other people in the house who aren't sitting shiva, are they allowed to look in the mirror?
So again, that would hinge on what we're talking about over here. You know, if someone wants to just take a peek and look, I'm not sure that's, you know, for some reason, I don't think there's any problem. Strictly speaking, I don't think there's an isser. There is no isser. There's all a minhag. So there's no isser for the oval to look in the mirror if there was some need for him to do so.
Right.
But as a general rule, you know, we're trying to create that environment, so that's why we cover the mirrors. Okay, so before we get too far off the topic, let's leave Tosas where we left him. And let's pause. Two more lines, sorry. Okay, so we said even though he doesn't have to keep the beds overturned, but he shouldn't sit on the bed that has now been put upright until the evening. Well, Motzi Shabbos, when Shabbos is over and there's no longer that dispensation for Kavod Shabbos to keep the beds back in their correct position, even though he only has one day left. Let's say the Shiva ends on a Sunday. Doesn't matter. You know, you still got to turn the beds over. It's a schlep, but you're going to have to turn the beds all over for a few hours of Shiva in the morning. But that's still a requirement. Okay? So let's stop for a second. Okay, so we... in terms of Shabbos? Yes. So like I said, when it comes to changing into your Shabbos clothes, please take one and pass them around. When it comes to changing your Shabbos, changing into Shabbos clothes, you should wait until, that later point in the day. But at that point, yeah. Okay. I'm just sharing a copy of that PDF with everyone online. Give me a second. So what we're going to look at for a moment, a little more in depth, is the fact that the Gemara told us that stimas, take these and go, thank you. The stimas hakever, the stimas hagolel, when the kever is completed, that's when the avelus begins. Okay, and we said it's not only for turning over the bed, that was just one example. It also applies to other dinim of avelus. One second.
You say kofi mitato, you mean that he has to sleep on the... Or is just a question for sitting?
He can sleep wherever he wants, but his bed, it's not going to be very comfortable if he sleeps on the bed upside down.
Yes.
Right? He's not, that's the push-up shot. He wouldn't sleep on his bed as usual, correct? Correct. Okay, everybody at home, you're going to see in the chat a file uploaded. If you click on that, you'll download a PDF, 2 pages. And that's what we're going to look at right now. Never done this before, so I'm just... did it work? I hope it worked. Yes, okay, the one.pdf. Okay, you have it at home. Great. Let's get back to the share. Okay, so I hope I have a copy for myself. Okay. Let's follow it. Okay, so what we're looking at is... The sugya of when avelus exactly starts, okay? So it's all fine and dandy if you're attending the funeral and you're there and you're participating, so we have the guidelines in the Gemara. What if two extreme cases? One case that we shouldn't talk about, unfortunately, wasn't so extreme. It was pretty common in those days. What if the body's lost? He was, you know, there were some crusaders came by through town, kidnapped someone, and we don't know. We don't know if we'll never see him again. We don't know if he was baptized and put in a convent somewhere, you know, or maybe we're going to find his body, God forbid, somewhere. You know, so they would search, and they would look, and they would try to find the body. But at some point, you give up. You give up. Now, giving up doesn't mean, let's say, that his wife can get married, right? There's a separate standard as far as Agun is concerned, okay? But at least as far as events, this came up, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, 9/11, right? Not all the cases were solved so quickly. I believe, I believe there were no agunas in the end, as far as I recall. But again, that was a process. Some of the investigations and comparing, you know, data from cell phone calls, you know, with the, it wasn't so simple to do. But they didn't have to work on DNA tests and whatnot. Yes. But again, that's much more complicated. In terms of when I start Avelis.
Robinson, somebody, some Jewish guy said, what should I do today? And I have a plane back, so I was, why don't you go visit the World Trade Center? Then we never heard from the guy again.
Okay.
They had a whole discussion about whether he could have disappeared.
Oh, I mean, the morning of 9/11, told him to.
Yeah.
Okay. That's terrible. So, in terms of Avelis, Avelis doesn't require the same standard of, we'll say, certitude to know that someone passed away. A person can begin observing Avelis as soon as they give up on finding the body. If they find it later, okay, we'll deal with it then. But Avelis can begin at that point. So, this would be, you know, another standard. You have the people who are at the funeral. Once the kvura is complete, then their avelus begins. The people who don't have a kvura, when they give up, that's when their avelus begin. And another category would be people who the body is intact and the body's being buried, but they live in China and they're not going to make it, right? So our practice is that as soon as you make a decision, you're not going to attend the funeral, right? So then your avelus begins. Logically, it makes a lot of sense. Logically, it makes a lot of sense because one of the things that you could argue prevents avelus from beginning, and we'll think about this more a little more carefully. One thing that stops avelus from beginning is the fact that you're an aninus, right? When you're an aninus, you're putzer from all mitzvos. You don't daven, you don't wear tefillin, and so on and so forth. Why? Because you are engaged in the kavod hames for the person who was lost, right? But if I have no intention of participating in that at all, right? Because I'm on the other side of the world, I'm not going to make it for the funeral. So then I can start observing avelus immediately because there's no obstacle, right? I'm pater from every other mitzvah, so I'm pater from avelus also. But if I'm not pater because I'm not participating in the kavura, so then I should go right into avelus. Yeah.
Somebody who's on the Zoom said the sound is gone.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay, thank you, Mr. Dressler, for raising your hand.
Oh, somebody texted me.
Okay. All right. Good.
Okay.
So I'll give a quick recap. We just said that if, even though the Gemara tells us that you begin avelus when the kvura is complete, that's if you're present. Other situations would be if, God forbid, the body is not to be found. So whenever the family gives up on finding the body, then the avelus will start at that time. Alternatively, if a person lives far away and is not going to be attending the levi, not going to participate in the burial, they can begin avelus immediately because the only thing stopping them from having avelus start earlier is the exemption, the patur of being an onain, because you're not going to be involved in the kavura. The onain status doesn't pertain, and you go right into avelus. Okay.
They don't wait for the kavura.
Okay, but that's not that. Even though that's common practice, not universally agreed upon. Let's take a look. Shiuri Harav. This came out about 20 years ago. Queens native Rabbi Eliakim Konigsberg from Kew Gardens Hills. One of our Rosh Yeshiva, he was commissioned by Rabbi Ganak and the OU, the OU regularly publishes a shirim from Rav Salvechik. This was one of the first svarim that were put out from shirim that Rav gave on Avelis on Tisha B'Av, and he was the one who put it all together. So look at the second paragraph. Hine, mi shehodiyuhu shemeis krovo bi'ir rechoka. A person who gets information that his relative, I'm on the page labeled Chav Beis at the top.
Second paragraph.
Okay, second paragraph. Hine misha odiyuhu krovo bi'ir rechoka. They hear about a relative who died in a distant city. Ain't daitol in so sham lakvur, and he has no intention of going to be present at the burial. Nechleku hanetziv, the great netziv, the Rosh Yeshiva of Elushin, Natali Tzvi Yehuda Berliner, v'chasano, and his son-in-law, Hagon Rufal Shapira. His son-in-law, Rufal Shapira, they argued, ha'im minin avelos maskel tekev umiyad. Does avelus begin right away for that person? Even if it could be a whole day before the kvura actually happens, right? Orak mishas hakvura. Or do we take the Gemara literally? Gemara says yistamagolo. Yistamagolo means send a telegram in those days, right? The kvura is complete, and then you'll start your avelus back home. Which one is it? Take the Gemara at face value that applies to all the avelum, or no? The Gemara was only talking about the people who are there involved in the kvura. Everybody else starts avelus immediately. Okay, everyone understand the.
So what do you do today when you bury people in Israel? The rest of the family starts.
If they're not going, right? Sometimes you'll hear a Shiva announcement. You know, the people are not going. The Avila starts right now. So that's how we paskin. That was the opinion. Excuse me, 1 second. That's the opinion of the Netziv. His son-in-law disagreed with him. Okay, and I'm going to show you something very cool at the end of this. Okay.
Just because how is there a Yurtzeit? Let's see, because is it now based on
Yurtzeit always goes based on the time of death.
Time of death.
Yeah. The Shloshim is counted from the Kfura, but the Yurtzeit the following year is going to go based on the actual death.
You don't know the time of death altogether.
Okay, that's a different story. That's a whole sugi in its own right. Good question. And if you think about it, you can have a bris, right? A bris. We let's say a baby's born on Friday night. Right, and I'm sure we've all had situations. A baby's born at the in twilight zone. Not sure if it's halachically Friday or halachically Shabbos. The nafkamina is: does he have a bris next Shabbos? Right, a Shabbos bris. It's docha Shabbos, but it's only docha Shabbos if for sure that's the eighth day. But if it's a suffix and maybe the baby's actually born Friday, and the real day for his bris is supposed to be Friday. Because of the doubt, we can't do it on Friday because that would be a day early. But we can't do it on Shabbos either because we're not sure that it's Docha Shabbos. So therefore, we have to push it off till Sunday. The same thing could be true if, God forbid, a person's in the hospital, right? And they die. So, the doctor is going to pronounce, the moment of the patira, but till he gets into the room, someone's watching the vital signs, it's not always easy to pinpoint the exact second. And if you're in Beinat Shmashos, you may have a situation where the art site is not abundantly clear. So we have a whole system for figuring that out, like other forms of the subject. Okay?
Yeah. I was told that at the end of the first year, it should be the anniversary of the
Kfura. Correct. Correct. The Shiva goes for a first year. Correct. That's the first year. But going forward, for all subsequent years, it goes based on the actual death. Yeah. So the Rav wants to explain what exactly is at the heart of this machlokas between the Netziv and Rav Rafal Shapiro. Nira shenechlekul inyan ikar hagorem laschos minyan avilos. It's a very fundamental debate as to what is the real, we'll say, what's the ignition of the count of Shiva. Hanetziv sover demaydam rinan sheminyan avilos maschol mishasa kfura. The Netziv understood our Gemara to say. But what does it mean that Avela starts at the burial? Pirush Hadavar Shaminin Maschil Raksha Achar Shinis Asik Bitzarchemis. Shiva starts when you're done working and being participating in what the mace means, right? The way we presented earlier. Ula Olam Eina Davar Toloi Dafka B'Kfura Mamish. So therefore, it's not going to hinge solely on actual Kfura. El Kolsha Gamar Lis Asik B'Mezeh. Rather, wherever you, as an individual, wherever you stop being involved in the kvura, zegufa nechshav kvura. That is tantamount to being done with the tzarech emes. Nafkamina, right? An in between case. Let's say there's a funeral, and most of the family goes to the cemetery, but there's an elderly spouse who stays back. It's not it's bad weather. They don't want to be out in the cold. That spouse will start avelos immediately. Again, even though they're in town, they're right there by the kvura. But they're done. According to this line of thinking, when you are done in your involvement, your avela starts right then. That's the Netziv's position. Okay? Now we have to understand the other position, who says, no, it's always based on the actual kvura. Continues, umehai taima. Umehai taima maskalinos yimei avelos, mishal shehichzir panav ben ames. So for someone who does not continue on to the cemetery, when he turns away from the mace, right? When the hearse drives off and you head back in your own direction, that's when you begin Shiva Mnesha Zen, Nakshav Kigmar, His Askuso, Bikfuras Amace. That's when you are done being involved in the Kfura. Vodinami Imnis Yashim Lakavro. Same thing would be true. Whenever you give up, the body's lost. Okay? So whenever you give up, Shahari Gam Yeyush, turning the page to the other side, Gam Yeyush Kigmar His Askuso, Bikfuras Amace. If you are done participating in Kfuras Ames because you have no body to bury and you don't think you're ever going to find it again, that's when your avela starts.
You make a shura at the burial, so that's when your avela starts right there. No?
Say it again?
You make a shura at the burial site.
Right,
and
okay.
That's when.
But we're talking about someone who's not present at the Kfura, right? That's easy, right? Someone who stayed home, or as he concludes this paragraph, ulam. First line, imlo nisasik b'kfuras ames klal. If you're not involved in the burial at all, kigon, for example, Heicha sheshama shemeis krovo biracheres. If you get the call that the relative died in a different city, they died to lunsoasham, and you have no intention of traveling there, lahakvura, chaser ikar hagorem laschos v'nin avelos. There is nothing that
there's no isaskus.
So I apologize. I didn't get it precisely before. The Nitziv holds you wait till you get the call that the kvura is done. If I'm involved in the kvura, so then as long as I'm involved, avelus does not begin. When I stop being involved, so then it's the completion of my involvement that kicks off the avelus. But if I never got involved in the first place, so then you can't measure based on when I stop my involvement. Rather, you need some sort of objective start time when everyone else who was involved completed the kvura. Okay.
Nowadays, people are watching it on Zoom.
It's an interesting point.
Yeah, when everybody was doing it on Zoom.
Yeah.
Actually, I went to some of those on Zoom.
Yeah. So I'll tell you like this. Rosh Hashanah always says, here's the shayla. What if a person is traveling with the Meister Eretz Yisrael? Okay? And for 11 hours in the plane or whatever, there's nothing you can do. Right? You're sitting up on top of the plane and you're accompanying the mace, but until you get off the plane, what are you going to do? Right? So, you know, it's very important. They're going to serve you your dinner. Do you make a bracha? Are you an onein at the time when you can't physically be involved in the mace at all or not? So I once heard a tape from Rabbi Friend where he... Okay, I don't remember the story well enough, so forget it. But you could easily make the argument that in that in between moment, you can't do anything. There's nothing practically that you can do. I think about a different story. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was driving home, I think after his wife passed away, from the hospital, and he was with Dr. Abraham, who we quoted last week. And I believe that Shlomo Zalman paskened that he should say Kriya Shema that night, because there's nothing to do, right? Until the next morning, until they bring the body to the funeral chapel, whatever. Like, that was it. There's really nothing to do. But right. So tefillin is a little bit different because we never wear tefillin on the first day of Shiva anyway. But again, the next morning, this was that night. The next morning, as soon as, you know, then you're already, you're getting up, you're getting dressed, you're heading to the funeral, then already you're more active, right?
Oh, but you're still on the plane.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I jumped to a different story. I was trying to illustrate that Shlomo Zalman practically held, similar to what we're saying about the airplane, if it comes a point where there's just really nothing else you can do, so then you don't have that onein exemption status. Rosh Hashanah said, no, it's not true. Rosh Hashanah disagrees, and he says, look, you know, you could be up that night writing a hesped, right? You could, sometimes you may get a call late at night. You know, decisions have to be made, right? As long as it's even theoretically possible, and everyone knows some story about something that came up once and the Avelim had to deal with something, you know, in that interim period, that the period of Aninus really covers everything. And that whole stretch until the Kfur is actually complete, you're exempt from all mitzvahs. So the nafkamina would be, what if I'm watching it on Zoom? What, in theory, I was at a funeral last week where someone gave a hesped on Zoom, right? Just because I'm far away, I'm not attending the funeral, but maybe the fact that I'm participating in the levaya, I never thought about this. You could make the argument that, you could still participate in some way.
But
still participate in some way.
Being exempt from a mitzvah, does it mean it's forbidden? For example,
yes.
By custom, by habit. He says a bracha.
You may not make a bracha. Okay? Full disclosure, Rashi says you have the option to make a bracha. We paskin, you may not make a bracha. Okay? So totally focused on the mix. That's the key.
So there are really two states. There's a state of aninus, and immediately after aninus, it goes
right into avelus, right? As soon as you're done with the... Yeah.
So Rav Shechter would say there is no other state.
Correct.
The ones who argue otherwise, what is that middle state?
It's not avelus because you don't necessarily have to, you know, have all the trappings, but you can't say that I deserve, so to speak, to be exempt from all mitzvahs when, you know, what exactly is distracting me from the mitzvahs?
Right, you know? So the plane loads, and now it's time to daven mincha.
So, according to Rav Shechter, go sit down and write a eulogy.
Not daven mincha.
You can't daven mincha. Just just because I was just talking about this with the guys in cheer this morning. It doesn't mean you can't have a cheeseburger, okay? You can't have a cheeseburger, okay? Meaning the mitzvos are suspended, but the surim are not suspended, okay? Oh, great, I've been waiting to wear this, you know, Armani shot in his suit, you know, now's the right time. Don't worry, I'm going to tear it, you know, but you can't. Yes, positive mitzvos. So the way to understand it conceptually, because Rav Shlomo Zalman also makes sense. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, if there's nothing I can do, then why should I be exempt? The other way of looking at it is, kavod ames means stop everything. Everything. Until you finish dealing with the relatives, you know, final respects, Hashem says, put everything else on hold.
So
right? That's it.
If a shnorer comes, you can't give tzedakah?
It's a great question. It's a great question. Does it apply to a mitzvah ben adam l'chavero? Does he say
suffer, right? Why should the beggar suffer?
Right. Okay, but I can't see why it would be any different. I got to think about that. But you know, if it's not that he's suffering, I'm just not a candidate. You know, I'm not a candidate for this mitzvah right now. And he should, if he tells you, look, you know, God forbid, I just lost my relative. He should be understanding. You know, I can't guarantee they all would be, but he should be understanding. It's not the time and place.
You say that Onesimus.
The schnurrs will come around to weddings. I haven't seen them at funerals yet. You know, but, I don't think so.
So
that's what Dr. Donath just asked. It's a machlokes Rashi and Tosos. Rashi says, if I want to make a bracha, I can. Okay? But Tosos says, and this is how we pass in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, you can't do the mitzvah. You can't do the mitzvah. Right. So the thing I was remembering from Rabbi Friend was, I think he was talking about an airplane. I don't remember exactly, but he was talking about how he lost a relative, and by accident, so to speak, he made a bracha on the food he was eating. And he wanted to bring out the point that, unfortunately, brachos are so by rote, I don't even think about it, that just it comes out of my mouth. So sometimes it's dafka when I don't have to make a bracha, that should remind me how much thought really is supposed to go into the bracha.
But tefillin is a whole different story. It's yom below tefillin, because let's say the funeral is early in the morning,
right.
So now you can still put on
right.
Tefillin and figure out it.
Correct. Meaning the reason why, if you tell someone that you don't wear tefillin the first day of Avelis, they won't know what you're talking about. And the reason for that is just practically, by the time you're done with the funeral and the burial and everything, you get home, you're lucky if you can daven mincha. Right? So there isn't time to, you know, no one's out in chakras, you know. It doesn't have, right? And especially in Eretz Yisrael, you know, they do a funeral at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, the next morning. Okay, you wake up, so the next morning, 9 a.m., you daven chakras because the kavur is over, but you don't wear tefillin. The first day for sure, some say even the second day, first day you don't wear tefillin.
Second day?
Second day is a little more of a gray area. No, not Kabbalistic. It's in here. It's in the big books.
What's the concept of a second day?
Meaning the sec, if the, it could be, have to do with the second day was when the, if the kavur took place the day after the Misa. We can have a whole separate conversation about this, but it has to do with when the kfura took place. Okay? What's that?
It's basically kfura.
Yeah. Okay, let's finish this.
Nowadays can take several days because when my father passed away, I had to fly over from here to Budapest and so on. And obviously there was no ticket, and so you had to get the ticket first, you had to find a flight, etc. So it was not so easy. In addition to that, in many countries like there also, you can't bury your dead until you get all the papers taken care of, which can take days.
We take for granted the pull that the Chevra Kadishas have in America. You know, people know the right people, and you know, and we get things done. Even then, it's not perfect. But in other countries,
So if it's a week, you're an omen that whole week. You're not doing it.
In theory. In theory, yeah.
Yeah, because even going from one state to another can be a whole geschäft. If they want to be buried in New York and he's in California, then you're subject to
There are some exceptions. If there's like a long-term hold, so to speak, which during Corona, there was all kinds of, you know, situations like that, you know. Let's finish what we're talking about right now. I don't want to lose the train of thought. So look at the second paragraph on page Chav Gimel. Now we have to look at the other side of the story. Again, the first side of the story was, Avelus begins when you begin your involvement, and then you stop. So then your Avelus starts. But if I never got involved in the first place, then I have to wait for that objective start time, which is Kfura. Ulam Hagon Rav Rafal Shapira Sover Shala Olam Minyan Avelos Hayitzarach Lahasl Mishas Hamisa. Rav Rafal Shapira said, no, it's not that we're waiting for anything. In theory, Avelos starts right away, as soon as the death occurs. I feel Lomis Asik Akar Bikfur Sameis Klal, even if you are not involved at all. El Dechol Shalom Gomam Las Asik Bitzarach Bikfur Sameis. But as soon as, because you're not done taking care of the kvura, haris askazuma keves umanas minan avelos malhaskol. Your involvement in the burial stops the avelos from kicking in. This is the way I presented it in the first place. Vachzaras ponim rak mesalechas hamaakev umemela maskol minan avelos. But if I stop in the middle because I don't go to the cemetery and I turn away, so then my avelos starts then, not because I stop being involved, but rather because I no longer have anything stopping the avelos from occurring. Let me try to illustrate it like this. Again, they're arguing over what the critical moment of avelos beginning is. Is it the misa, but there's just something preventing the avelos from starting because I have to bury the mace? Or no, misa is not when it starts. Completing the involvement in the kvura is when it starts. Okay? So the nafkamina is if I'm not attending the funeral. So if my knowledge is, if I know the person died, so right away, as soon as I know the person died, I have to start observing the avelos because there's nothing holding it back. But if the starting point is when I complete my involvement, so then if I'm not being involved, I never had something to kick it off. There never was that button that was pressed that starts my avelos. So I have to wait until those involved in the burial do it for me, so to speak. Now, the real reason I want to show you this is because Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the Rose Father, had a whopper v'chiddush. Whopper v'chiddush. What do we have? We're getting back to where we started with Sam's point. Halacha k'divrei hamekel ba'avel. We have a right to pass on like the lenient opinion when it comes to Chazal Avelos. So imagine the following situation. A person has a relative on the other side of Europe. They're not coming to the funeral. Okay? So according to one opinion, let's say it's Sunday. Okay? So according to one opinion, your avelos starts right then on Sunday. Okay? So you count Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. 7 days. According to the other opinion, though, your avelos starts on Monday when the family has performed the burial, right? Which means that the avelos then goes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday. Zakhtar Moshe Soloveitchik, halacha dibri amekel ba'avel means you can start your avelos on Sunday. I'm sorry, you can start your avelos on Monday and end it on Shabbos. And only observe 6 days. Because since the first day, Sunday, is subject to debate, and the last day, Monday, is subject to debate, you can take the cools of both sides, even though by doing so is, by definition, an internal contradiction. We never say that. I'll give you a great example. Safek Rabbanan L'kula. Okay, Safek Rabbanan L'kula. Let's say I live in one of these neighborhoods where I'm not sure if you read the Megillah on the 14th or the 15th, the parts of Beit Shemesh and Ramot, where there are places where they read Megillah on both days. I have a better idea. Why don't I not read it on the 14th because maybe it's Shushan Purim when I should be reading. And then when Shushan Purim, we say, no, I'm not reading the Megillah today because maybe I was supposed to read it yesterday, right? It's a great idea. Something to burn the kula. Skip Purim. Okay, I don't know anyone who wants to skip Purim, but yeah, you skip Purim. So you can't say something to burn the kula when it's going to implode, when it contradicts itself. But Moshe Soloveitchik, he was alone on this. I don't know. We find Mishnah Sianka, but Rav Moshe Feinstein disagreed. Most possibly disagreed. They understood the concept of taking the lenient approach in Avelos as following the normal rules of Safek Drabban Lakula. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's chiddush was that it's its own din. The ability to be lenient in Avelos has its own rules. And it's not bound by the normal guideline of Safek Drabban Lakula to the extent that you could take the lenient, approach on both ends and only observe 6 days of Shiva in one of these cases. Okay. Have a wonderful Shabbos. We'll see you next week.
That's a quick question.
Yeah. So if you're